Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
This is Rise Up Radio, and we are so excited to be with you on this Friday, opening day.
Opening day.
Padres just having some fun out there, doing their deal.
Baseball season, America's pastime.
I feel like it's almost summer, and we just hit spring.
And we just hit spring, and Boston got like a foot of snow last week.
Yeah, and we're so blessed to live in this city, America's finest city. Not only are there amazing people, we've talked about this several times. There's a seat at the table for most everyone here in San Diego. For everyone. And the weather is absolutely amazing. How can we live in such a gorgeous place and not just stop for a second and say, thank you. Thank you for God for creating this amazing place that we get to hang out in.
Being grateful.
Yeah. So.
Folks, so we got a lot going on this weekend, and you know, we are blessed to live in America's finest city. And, you know, one of the questions that we like to encourage our listeners and our community is, what are you doing to be involved in your community? How are you engaging your community? And what are you doing to rise up and show your leadership and be a part and share the love and help out your fellow citizens? And that's what Rise Up Radio is all about. Is empowering San Diego servant leaders and empowering each other and owning San Diego as America's finest city. And we're so fortunate to live here.
And there's something unique about San Diego that most other cities don't have, is that we have several bases, military bases here.
Yes.
And we've said this before, if you don't realize as a civilian that this is a military city, you're missing out.
One in three San Diegans.
Don't ignore that the military is here. And I would just encourage you, a simple thing. Just go to the Midway. Go hang out there. And it's a great museum.
Awesome museum.
There's some volunteers there that are maybe some older gentlemen and women.
Talk your ear off for a couple
hours.
That
would love to talk to you about their military experience and what that looks like, not just from the military side of oorah, right? But what that's meant for their family. And I think that's a big piece that people sometimes forget, that our military community will have families, and they have people that they're raising, kids that they're raising, their schools, and there's spouses to the military as well. And I think that's potentially even a forgotten arm, but there's organizations that embrace that.
Some great organizations in San Diego.
And today we get the honor to talk to one of those organizations that I think is leading the charge and saying that San Diego is America's finest city. Our military is the best in the world. And the families that these people have need to not be forgotten about. They need sometimes assistance. And I want to explain just one piece in the military. There's officers and there's enlisted. Enlisted are the people, the men and women who they haven't necessarily made rank or became an officer, so they're not management, essentially, as right. We could say that in the civilian world. And so they're the even more forgotten, the day-to-day people. And the military is very top-heavy, so we're going to dig into that, and then we're going to take a break after that and dig into another amazing person. But let's introduce one of the people who I know in San Diego has been, plan words, a stepping stone for many, many, many people, both military and non-military, to be engaged and to help the civilian side understand what it's like to be part of the military and help the military integrate and be in the civilian community. Tony Taravanian. I'm dyslexic. We talked about this 100 times and I practiced this like
it's okay.
15 times. I'm sorry if I botched your name. CEO and co-founder of Support the Enlisted Project, also known as STEP. He's a retired United States Navy submariner. There's not a lot of those guys. Great community. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
So how in the world do you take on the challenge of creating this organization, and how did you even end up on a submarine?
Well, those are two completely different stories, to be sure.
Yeah.
Getting on a submarine was easier than I thought. I grew up in a military family, so I spent my first 16 years as a military child. It prepares you for a lot of things in life, one of which is not future education. So some friends of mine gathered around, and they helped get me into an engineering program where I sat there in 700, 800 person classrooms just going, what's this guy talking about? And then pretty soon I was at the Navy recruiter office, and I asked him for a catalog, and they chuckled, as you did. We went through the conversation a couple hours later, and I said, let me get this straight. I can be on a, you'll teach me how to run a nuclear reactor. I'll be on a submarine. You'll give me a paycheck and a place to sleep before Christmas when I get kicked out of the dorms. He says, yeah. I said, well, that's a no-brainer. Sign me up. So Christmas Eve, I was on a train to boot camp.
Wow. How many times have we heard that story? And I think that's a similar story in the military of, this is a very interesting place of where I can go sign up for this. And it was probably a viable option at the time, maybe the only option. We don't know that.
there's lots of options. It held obviously what I needed in it. But it also, it was something that was in me from my childhood. Mm. You know, growing up, my dad was a career Air Force guy, and I went to 7 different schools growing up. I think we moved 11 times. And the military was all I knew. And looking back on it retrospectively, you know, when he left the service, we all left the service, and we were all kind of trying to transition out, and none of us really understood what the civilian world was like. That's why it was very comfortable for me to go back to that and readapt to that environment very quickly.
So you grew up in a military family. What was your like family's experience experiencing that? And I know what step exists to do. So but let's dig into that, and then we'll transition to how your story created STEP, right? So,
yeah, I mean, growing up in the military, child, it's, you know, nobody made a lot of money. Constantly moved around, so you're getting put in situations where, you know, there's other financial challenges or hardships or tests for the family that most folks don't realize. But you know, a move, it's estimated that a PCS move cost a family $3,000 to $5,000 of unreimbursable expenses. I mean, you know, empty out underneath all your sinks and your refrigerators and your cupboards. You know, at some point that has to be replenished. You have to buy new shower curtains and whatever, toilet bowl brushes, all these things for your house that you just have to do every time. You have to learn new communities. Currently, the deployment schedule has been called unsustainable by a lot of folks, and that puts families in a lot of pressure where you're single parent, and then you're a dual parent, and then you're a single parent, back and forth. Children changing schools a lot, and it's not just you changing schools. It's when you're in a school as a military child, you use a 30% to 50% rotation rate. So you might stay in one place for 2.5, 3 years, but all your friends are on their own rotation cycles. So when you come back to school after summer, you know, it's like half the people are literally new. And they came from somewhere else. So it just becomes a way of life. There's an expression that I've heard that a military kid, by the time he finishes school, has already said goodbye to more people than a civilian will ever meet in their lifetime.
Wow. And I feel like that's part of the story of how STEP was created. So let's dig into what is STEP?
Yeah, well, STEP, it's a Southern California nonprofit, 501c3. And essentially what we do is we help our youngest military service members. So we focus on the lower 6 pay grades, which is just E1 through E6. And we help them when they get into a financial crisis. We help move their family from that crisis specifically to what we call financial self-sufficiency. How can we help them get themselves to a place where they don't need an external service anymore? How can we teach them the skills and tools necessary, help them understand, and we focus on a financial perspective. So how can they manage their world? How do these tools and skills apply very specifically to their world so that they have a path to freedom? They have a light at the end of the tunnel. They realize they can make it on a monthly budget. where they can create a budget that even works. We show them a path that they can actually get out of debt completely free. And it's a shock to a lot of people that they can make it. We use we do a financial counseling program, but we specifically use social workers. So a social worker that's been trained in finance is a very different person than a finance person that's been trained in social work. And what this becomes is more of a financial intervention. It's high touch. It's a sticky program. And there's a lot of social work theory. There's change management theory. And now we're actually putting some more educational principles into this financial counseling program that we offer to these families.
So through that process and tying it back into, you know, as you're a military kid, you're transitioning friends and schools and cities. So there's a currency and there's a trade-off emotionally with that as well. But we all know that finances bleeds into that. So let's layer those things. Let's think about how those things get layered on top. I moved to a new city. The military maybe moved me, maybe didn't, but I still had unreimbursable expenses that I'm kind of in crisis mode. Emotionally, I've probably just been drained as well because my kids are asking, why did I have to leave Johnny? And why do I show up here? Or why am I here for a year and Johnny's leaving me? And so a lot of those things are being piled on top of each other. And I feel like what you're saying is, let's start with one of the things that we know we can control, because I can't control if Johnny's leaving. But if we start with the financial sector, we can probably start to put some control around those things that we can bleed into at those transitions and those other currencies in which we're trying to support our families with. So, what are some of those other programs that STEP's doing, or what does maybe that curriculum look like a little bit?
Yeah. So our main focus is our emergency financial program. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want our piece of the pie to be too big. We really just want to focus on, have one program and do it well. We do have some secondary programs, and I make sure they relate closely back to our core mission, which is helping families achieve financial self-sufficiency. So educational components, we try to make sure they're in there. If I have a program, I want to make sure it either offsets another cost. So if I can offset a cost for a family, they can use that money and roll back in their budget and use their snowball debt reduction techniques to move that down. So we have a donated goods warehouse. We make sure that we focus mostly on mothers and small home goods, baby books, toys, clothes, blankets, hygiene products, small home goods. We're going to make sure every mom has diapers, wipes, cribs, and a car seat. And you'd be amazed how many mothers that are 8 months pregnant are very relieved that we can supply them with a car seat, just a car seat.
Wow.
We have Christmas programs where we managed an adopt-a-family program. This past year, it was about 850 individuals that we got matched up with donors. We don't advertise it a lot, but we have a Thanksgiving dinner program that all is people will give us turkeys and dinner kits. And this last year we had 173 families that we outfitted with dinners. And it's actually one of the programs I was looking to try to move off because I don't want to get into the food business and there's a lot of people out there. So we actually asked the families this year what this meal meant to them. And 25% of them said that they were not going to have a Thanksgiving meal if we hadn't given this kit to them. So there's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of organizations that help military families in San Diego. We try to work with them as much as possible in the greater community for the greater good. So we use a lot of referrals as well. So if I can match somebody up to a partner that's better than me for a service they need, or whether that's going to be in series with my service or in place of my service, or we do it together and we'll partner on one solution, or we'll both have multiple solutions. We do what it takes. It's one-on-one care for sure.
Those are all needed and amazing pieces that every person should have. Every person should have the right to. And we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna dig into some of those stories and some of the other ways that you are not only supporting but walking alongside military families like a family, and not saying I'm better or this is something that you need, but you're a family. You're walking in this, and we're gonna dig into Tony's own ranch and why he branches that story out into other people's stories. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question why. I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. Happy Friday. Opening day of the Padres. Hope you're enjoying your evening, and thank you for tuning in. In studio with us is Tony Taravinian, the CEO of STEP, Support the Enlisted Project.
I'm not the only one that can't say his name.
I know. It's impossible.
Tony Taravinian. Is that close?
That's good.
That's good.
Tony T. The man at
you
the
can helm. Imagine me changing schools 8 times. Right? I'm always the new kid in the back, and nobody can say my name.
Yeah. Right. Tony.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, thank you for being here. And folks, you know, we're talking about Support the Enlisted Project STEP and what they do to reach out and bridge the gap between enlisted military and the civilian community, and how they're making a difference, and it seems like they're making a really big difference. But let's continue that conversation, Tony. You know, we were sharing kind of the why behind it and some of the things you guys have been doing.
Yeah, San Diego is a perfect place for STEP. Like I said, I grew up in a military family. I served in the military. I understand those experiences. It was a crazy path that got me to where I am today. And really the fact that there's so many folks out there that kind of fall into my shoes. There's 85,000 of these E-1 through E-6s, the junior enlisted service members, stationed in San Diego. Almost 10% of the entire military is stationed inside San Diego County.
Wow.
It's a huge number.
Didn't know that. That's a huge number.
San Diego County is also the number three veteran populated county in the United States. On par to be number one, I think, by 2030, because we have the highest population of veterans under 26 here in San Diego as well. We create about 20 or 25,000 new veterans every year. So that's about half of them stay where they're at. And then that's, of course, another 25,000 new service members that need to come into San Diego to replace them as they work through their cycle. So it's a huge population. You mentioned 1 in 3. There's just a lot of families out there. They don't make a lot of money. I've got lots of statistics that, you know, 60% of them earn a low income wage. 30% rely on food assistance regularly to feed their families. But it's livable. But the problem is a lot of these families don't have the skills and tools necessary to make that low income wage work in San Diego's high economy. And then you add in all these crazy things like the moves, the deployment schedules, the unemployment of military spouses, and the lack of childcare, and all these other issues. And it really puts these families at edge of falling into a financial crisis.
Yeah, let's touch on those last two pieces that you mentioned. So as someone that's in the military, I move, I have a job, but my spouse just had to move and probably doesn't have a job lined up, has to meet new people and battle that challenge for I mean, in San Diego, people can be looking for a job for years, mm-hmm. and then it's time to move again. And then probably don't have family in town. You can't go have the kids stay with grandma, right? So I want my kids to be in a good preschool or just even have daycare if I go get a job. And that costs real money, mm-hmm. right?
So oh, yeah.
I think that those are two big pieces that sometimes, again, are forgotten from the civilian world of people that are being forced to move on a regular basis.
I think civilian folks can understand, like I'm not, but civilian folks, it's easier. I mean, think about how many jobs you've gotten awarded to you. You've earned a job somewhere. How many of those for picking up a newspaper and answering an ad? It's usually the networks that produce employment for people. And these families move here and they don't have the networks. They don't know the people. So I think the official number is 21% right now for military spouse unemployment rate. And a recent survey came out, I think it said 68% of stay-at-home military spouses want to find work outside the house. They just can't find anything that works with their schedule from, you know, being that single parent part-time, from having to take care of all the different kid issues. From having to deal with all the things of managing that household in that kind of flux situation.
And you get throw a deployment. So not only just move, I got to throw a deployment on top of all of that as well. If I don't have my partner here for 6-9 months to do life with.
Mm-hmm. And I've got three military spouses. Well, two spouses and one married next month. And two of them had their significant others come back from a deployment several months ago. And I got to watch firsthand. Neither one of them has children. And I got to watch firsthand how they were emotionally trying to reconnect to their significant other. And then the third one, her husband left last week. And she's like, I'm taking the day off. I'm like, why are you taking off? She's like, my husband's leaving. Well, what does that matter, right? She's like, you know, this is a significant change in my life. And we're going to take him down to the pier and we're going to watch him go. And then I'll cry all weekend. Wishing he didn't have to go. And I said, this isn't your first deployment. And she's like, no, this is his, I think she said 8th or 9th that they've been married. And she's got 3 kids and she's trying to work a job. Yeah. And it's significant amount of stresses that goes with that type of situation.
We just don't think about that happening as much as it does here in San Diego. 1 out of every 3 people are directly connected to that happening on a regular basis. And STEP, Support the Enlisted Project, is stepping in to say, We can't solve all those problems, but we can be a resource.
We can be a resource, and yeah, we're not trying to be a white knight or anything. What we found is a way to make this financial education work, and we believe in our hearts that we as a community can do better by our military families. We ask a lot of these families. We ask them to put themselves through extreme hardships for us. So us as a community, I think in their time of need, we can do a little bit more for them, and that's why we formed STEP.
And how did you come about to do this? You're the CEO of STEP, but you got here in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I think my whole life is a roundabout way. I got out of the military, and it wasn't a great experience for me. It wasn't planned. It wasn't my choice. And I was out, I was processed out on a medical retirement. So I was, you know, one day I was the greatest thing since sliced bread on my in the submarine world. And then the next week, they said, you're done. You can't be on submarines anymore. You can't work on nuclear reactors. You can't go to sea. You're out. And it takes a while to process that. And what you learn very quickly is, even though you've been stationed here for 2.5-3 years, if it wasn't between my house and the sub base, I really didn't know it existed in San Diego. Because my life, you know, my life consisted of 12-hour shift work. I could tell you probably where, you know, there was a few establishments that we would always kind of go to. There was a few bars that opened up at 6 a.m. when we got off shift. We knew where all those were, but that was about it. You know, one grocery store, one movie place, whatever. So you learn that you don't have a network. You don't know where the people are. You don't know where the resources are. There's a lot of sense of loss and pride that kind of conflict at the same time. There's a lot of folks that don't want to ask for help as they transition out. I was one of those. I didn't do anything with the Veterans Administration, even applying for services for about 15 years. I finally walked in there and said, I need an ID card. And they're like, who are you? So I went through and I just kind of put all that behind me. I went and I found a job And I just put my nose down and went to work. I quickly realized I needed to get some education under my belt. So I started going to night school. And after 11 years, I had a couple good degrees behind me. I advanced to some management positions. I had broken out and started and managed a few companies on my own. And eventually ended up at a consulting firm. And I was working there. And I saw a volunteer posting for a local nonprofit that helped young military families. They were looking for a strategy planner to help them develop their long-term strategy. And I'd never worked anything volunteer. It was all about making the coin. I'd never done any type of give back. I didn't know anything about the nonprofit world, but for some reason that just kind of called to me. And I said, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Wow. And so now you're the CEO and you're mm-hmm. leading this organization.
Yeah, I started as a volunteer. I helped the board. Then I joined the board and eventually I was chairman of the board. Our president had resigned while I was chairman of the board. So it's kind of like a musical chairs. Tag, you're it. I was interim president for a month and a half. And then I resigned from Booz Allen and took this job, mostly because I couldn't find anybody else to do it. I had no kind of... And it was a low salary we had to offer. We had no benefits, zero security. At that point, we had just kind of reorganized, broke away and become completely independent. And we're trying to start it up and make it happen here in San Diego. So I really couldn't find anybody else to do it. And the strategy all wrapped up in my head. So I just said, if somebody's got to do this, it's got to be me.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking on that battle, because I know those things aren't easy. I know that being and owning a company, you're where the buck stops. And not only did you decide to do that before you were CEO, you just stepped into that role because you saw where the buck was going to stop, and you were the man for the job. So what's the future of STEP look like, and where do you see it going?
Well, the future is... Future of STEP looks great, right? It's a lot of work starting up any organization. I've had to learn a lot about operating nonprofits and how they work and integrating into the community. I knew none of the community members. A lot of the dynamics I had to learn. We started STEP and we said, we're going to do this. And we just launched it. We launched the program. We started delivering services. And then we started kind of building a plane once we were flying it. And our initial test was, is this a service that people even need? Are people going to come to us for the service? Will we be accepted and honored by the local military communities and military leaders? And will we be able to find donors that want to support a program like this? Is the community willing to dig into their back pocket to support their military community members in their time of need? And all those came back as resounding yeses. So last year, we kind of brought in our second phase strategy of putting that sustainable foundation under STEP and all its business areas. So it's going great.
And it's a family, and it's a community here with the military. And we've talked about that several times. But I just want to end with your ranch and your safe place, your place that you go away, because I think that makes... That makes us a real person being from the Midwest. I appreciate open space. I appreciate what you have. So 30 seconds, tell us about your place that you get to call home and why you feel that a ranch is necessary.
Well, it's something else. It took a roundabout way to get there. I've always enjoyed being outside and my quiet time. I have an opportunity to... It was essentially abandoned when I bought it. 6 acres. It's out by the Wild Animal Park. It's an agricultural preserve. So most people have something similar around me. They all, a lot of wineries now. A lot of people growing avocados, grapes, citrus fruits, animals. So there's lots of nature out there. I think at my high point, I probably had 700 avocado trees.
Wow.
And about 300 citrus trees. The avocados are slowly coming out and we're putting in pomegranates and olives now. It's like I'll do everything and then I'll go get a book on figure out why it didn't work the first time. Animals are kind of the same way. I had my first animals were goats. And they take care of themselves. They have a great personality, but they're just very destructive. So after I had those for about a year, I got a book on raising goats. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. So I bought some llamas to watch out, to protect the goat kids, because they were getting eaten by coyotes. But then the goats beat up the llamas, so that didn't work. And then the llamas started reproducing, and then I had to figure out how to ranch llamas. Somewhere along there, I got some sheep. I brought them home in the minivan, and the wife was just crazy. There's a picture on Facebook somewhere with my first two sheep coming in. And then I bought a ram. I said, I can raise these. And I should have realized that the guy was buying the ram from delivered it, gave me a discount. Anything else I can do for you, take this thing. I was like, this is great. And he left. And like 3 months later, I was like, I knew why I wanted to get rid of this thing. But yeah, you learn all these things. I've had some horses, raised a lot of chickens. We raise turkeys every year for Thanksgiving. All the friends, my friends line up and they place their orders. And around the 1st of July, we'll get all the turkeys and raise them. And then they'll come. I make them tackle their own, chop their own heads off, and then I'll help them process them, and they take them home.
Tony, amazing story. We're all chuckling in the studio, and I think that sheds the light on the uniqueness of people, the uniqueness of what you're doing in STEP, and you're doing it just like you're doing the ranch. And I would just recommend, if you want to be part of something like the ranch, be part of STEP, be part of what they're doing, because We're all created unique. And if you're that ram, Tony needs some help, and he wants to hang out with you a little bit, and he can make you part of his fold and what you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for making us laugh on your experience at the ranch. But more importantly, let's just make sure that we are engaging with the military community here, especially the enlisted people that are sometimes forgotten, and the people behind them, their spouses, their children, and their finances. So Tony, any last thoughts?
No, I very much appreciate the opportunity to share STEP's message, and just kind of be a voice for and try to make people aware of what our military goes through for us, what we ask of them, and the exhausting amount of energy it takes to accomplish that. So thank you for helping me share.
Thank you. This is SDRiseUp.com. We're Rise Up Radio, and I encourage you to rise up. Stay tuned. We have another amazing guest.
1170, The Answer.
Jared Kelly here, co-host of Rise Up Radio and the Rise Up Movement. We are having an amazing journey and just trying to hold on to this movement, but we need you to be a part of this. If you would like to sponsor what's happening on air and in the community with the Rise Up Movement, visit us at sdriseup.com. Let's rise up together and understand it is our job to maintain America's finest city. Visit us at sdriseup.com. That's sdriseup.com. Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under. But for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab, and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, folks. You're in studio with Rise Up Radio. You can follow us at sdriseup.com. We have more servant leaders in studio. We have a treat. We actually have a team of three with us. We have Saleh Kim, who's the program coordinator for MITFFAD, and she is a retired Army officer. We also have Kelly Nichols, who is the program lead and senior vice president at Lean Associates. And Daryl Hebert, retired Oceanside Fire Chief, Palomar College Fire Technician and Academy Supervisor. Three powerhouses. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
How do you say military in transition, firefighter for a day? What's the acronym like? Because in military, you say like SD Mac. You don't say the initials. Well, how do you guys say it?
So we say MIT firefighter for a day.
Okay.
MIT firefighter for a day.
We can't say like
I want to be a firefighter.
Mithrada.
No, and it's very easy to find our website, MITfirefighterforaday.com.
There we go. So thank you guys for being on the show. We had a rock star guest, and you guys know Tony a little bit, support the Enlisted Project. This is a military city. We cannot forget that. It's our job, both as people who have served, but as civilians as well, to realize that it is a military city, and the military offers a lot to what we do here. So what does it look like for a military transition to be firefighter for a day, and how is this organization even created? So let's start there. What is firefighter for a day?
Well, there was a group called San Diego Leadership Forum, and there's a North County chapter. And it's a bunch of leaders from the military, from fire departments, from businesses that just thought about a problem that we can get involved in or some sort of issue within the community that we might be able to improve or, you know, just kind of put a program together to help. So we thought about how many people are being discharged from the military and that we're not able to stay in San Diego because jobs weren't available. So we thought, well, what could we do? And being a fire chief, I thought, you know, we don't hire any better firefighters other than ex-military people and or military veterans, because they understand service, they understand dedication, they understand the chain of command, all those things. So we I put it out on the table and said, I have an academy training center. I would love to do something that we can get more military people interested in the fire service. So we kind of just put together this program, and about after two of them that were somewhat successful, Kelly came along and just really blew it up. In fact, we call her our firecracker.
Right. So you got a firecracker with firemen. Are you guys like constantly trying to like, she's blowing things up and you're like, hey, we gotta have to get this under control.
Well, yeah, exactly. As a fire chief, really, I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't know anything about how to grow a program. I just knew I know how to run a fire department, and I know what we need in the fire service. And I knew, because we work well with the military on Camp Pendleton, and we just knew the type of people that we desire. So Kelly came over to the training center, we walked around and kind of told her my vision, and boy, did she run with it. It was great. So I'll let her take over from there.
Yeah, so I my day job is not this, and so I happen to be over at the training facility because of a networking function with some other peers, and they said, you know, you might want to check into this program. It's really its infancy. They need a lot of help. We need to get nonprofit status. We need to create organizational charts and programs, etc. I after I heard a little bit more about what Chief was, you know, what his vision looked like, it became really apparent that with just a little bit of help, this program could, potentially go, in places that we never expected. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is we've already successfully run 3 years of programs, quarterly events. It's changed a little bit from its inception until now, but I can honestly say, what the Leadership Forum has a tendency to do is pick an issue and throw a pebble in a pond and then seek others to help, continue the ripple. And so, with Chief's sort of, promotion and guidance and support, I quickly found out that I was tapped thin because of, my day job takes up 50 hours to 60 hours a week. And so I roped Saleh in. She's our Chief Operations Officer, and having had a 21-year career in the Army, she was obviously very passionate about helping others and skilled at organizational behavior and that sort of thing.
Daryl, I feel like you're not throwing pebbles in a pond. You're like skipping them across. You're like aiming them. I want that person. You're like skipping pebbles and saying, I want you, I want you, I want you. And you've kind of put together this dream team of people that are putting this together. So, Sally, how did you get involved?
So,
other than being pegged with a pebble. So
there was an introduction made by a mutual friend of ours, Jim Sigona. He said, Sile, you've got to connect with Kelly. She's got this great program going on over in Oceanside. So you need to come out and check it out. And so, of course, I go out to an event. And that's what happens. You go to an event and you become part of that team. You really get ingrained in what's going on for that day. And where we initially started with connecting transitioning service members with business leaders at that point, you kind of saw yourself in that role of, okay, as a business leader, how can I assist this program? I do event planning. It's my passion. I have a small event planning company. And so as Kelly was mentioning the issues that they had and what they needed help with, of course, it all fell into my wheelhouse. And so that's kind of where it all started.
And that's exactly what we say with Rise Up Radio. And just when we encourage people to rise up in San Diego, you have a unique gift. You have a unique skill set. We have a chief. We have someone that's in real estate, someone that's a event planner. And somehow we're doing military transition, firefighter for a day. Very successfully. So you're, if you're listening to this, you're a leader. You're someone that is needed in an organization, or you're needed to rise up and do what you're made to do. And I would just encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to pull the car over right now, go to your guys' website, because you sounds like you're using everyone and anyone to help do this.
Yeah, we could really use anybody's support. We first of all, encourage you to come out and shadow any one of our events. They're really exciting. We have our military and transition folks dressed up in full gear. We have fire trucks. We have hoses and waters and candy-filled buildings with smoke. It's really exciting. So if you want to check it out, that's neat.
Wait a minute. Candy-filled buildings with smoke?
Okay, yeah. Well, candy smoke buildings.
I'm trying to describe to them that our smoke that we use is non-toxic. We don't want to put anybody in danger.
So I said
it's like a candy, Hollywood smoke.
Awesome. There you go.
But I like the candy-filled rooms better.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah.
So the website's MITFirefighterForADay.com, and you can figure out more information on what you guys are doing there. But we want to dig into the story. So the program history, we've discovered how you guys all got together, the Motley Crue, and again, we need to push the agenda forward, right? So what are the programs that you guys are doing, and why do this?
Okay, so here's for me personally, I have two family members that were both, served distinguishedly in the military, one World War II and one a Vietnam vet. The World War II vet came out very optimally employed, and it had a generational effect of, being well, good for our family. The Vietnam vet did not come out optimally employed, and it was generationally a different trajectory. And so when I met Chief and the other, San Diego Leadership Forum folks and saw, what could happen here, it became very evident to me that if we could help military people that were getting ready to exit within, 18 to 24 months, and assist them in connecting with employment opportunities, that would, in that first 6 months, think about this. Pretend tomorrow you get up in the morning and you can never be a residential agent again in your entire life.
Yeah.
Sorry. And how many years have you been in the business?
11 years.
Okay. You can't. Sorry. You got to go figure out something else. Right? That's heady.
Yeah.
So I've been a commercial real estate agent for 30 years.
Yeah.
And somebody told me in this meeting, they said, okay, pretend you can't do it anymore. So our job is, to help these folks streamline the process to become firefighters if that's what their passion is. They're, excellent at the occupation. They have skill sets that match, et cetera. And so we really want to, help those folks so that they don't have that period where they're just a little bit adrift and don't have the support that they need and deserve.
And we believe that there's a lot of them out there that don't even know that they can be firefighters. And they would make outstanding firefighters. They don't know anything about firefighting. They, they hear the horror stories about thousands of people applying for one job, and we want to change that.
That's what I hear. I mean, I hear it every single day. I have good friends who are firefighters, went from being Coast Guard to doing that, and they are amazing, amazing people at what they do. But it was a journey. So I think that the word needs to be said of, yeah, there may be 1,000 people applying for this, but like anything else, if you serve in the military, you're probably more well qualified to do something like this. You may have some skill sets and some things on your resume that you don't realize you have. And I think the military is so humble. The people coming out of the military are so humble that they don't realize that they have special attributes that this civilian life and specifically firefighters could use. And a team, right? And I think that's another big piece. This is a team sport. Firefighting, you can't do it on your own.
I think when you got another board member here, what are you guys doing? Right up our alley. Love it. I just skipped the pebble.
Right between the eyes.
Yeah, I think I felt it. Yeah, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dig into some of the stories. We're going to dig into those candy-filled rooms and events that you guys are putting on to be part of the community, and that's what's necessary. This is America's finest city. It's our job to maintain it, and firefighters are a key part. They're not just taking cats out of trees. They're saving people's lives, and they're taking cats out of trees. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, SDRiseUp.com.
The answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question, why? I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to SDRiseUp.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's Little League coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to SDRiseUp.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You're in studio with Rise Up Radio. We have military and transition firefighter for a day with us in the studio, and we're having a lot of fun, and these folks are making a big difference. And Kelly, you were starting to share, you know, that you guys have the capacity to help 20 people at a time actually get into this program and explore becoming a firefighter. Share a little more about that.
Yeah, correct. So we, the focus of our program is to expose the military individual that's getting out in 12 to 18 months to what it's like to be a firefighter for a day. And so once you come through our program, then we will help streamline and educate you as to the steps that are required to become, you know, certified to, you know, to apply for the exams, et cetera. And but more importantly, during your firefighter for a day, you know, experience, you're meeting other fire captains that are donating their time and energy to that day's event. You, of course, have access to Palomar College and the, you know, the training that they offer. You get to meet the you know, the supervisor of the entire program, which is Chief Hebert, and has a wonderful, you know, gift of, you know, connecting people to others that are, you know, standing around during the day of the event. And that's on the next one is on Friday, April 21st. And it's over at the San Marcos facility. Do we have a street address on that?
Yeah, Santar Drive in San Marcos, right off of 78, between Twin Oaks Valley Road and I'm trying to think of the other road. Yeah. San Marcos Boulevard.
We can post that on the website, yeah. That's Friday the 21st.
You'll see the big tower.
Any military person that would like to attend that, you can go to our site. You can register right on the site, and we'd be happy to have you come and attend and be a firefighter for a day.
And the website is MITFirefighterForADay.com. And that event is all day, 2 a.m. to 2 p.m.
No, that would be from 8 a.m. until about 2 o'clock.
8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And we'll provide you a light breakfast and a lunch and introduce you to a lot of people that you might want to know.
What a great event to actually have these veterans start to build their network, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're transitioning. They're starting to think, all right, I'm starting to see light at the end of the tunnel here, 12, 18 months out. What do I do? And it sounds like in this, you know, one day you're exposing them to a lot of different folks, a lot of different leaders, and helping them start to lay the groundwork for that network.
Yeah, we even get some folks that aren't interested in being firefighters.
Okay.
So therefore, we get some military individuals that might have some special skills like diesel mechanics. So we have a partner with, actually they're a subgroup of Pierce Manufacturing South Coast Fire Equipment that sells the Pierce fire engines to a lot of departments. They partner up with us, and they actually are looking for fire mechanics. So we're going to have them on site for those folks that might find out that day that they're not interested in going into a smoky building or putting on the heavy gear once again like they wear in the military. So we're going to actually encourage those folks to look towards those other opportunities. Dispatch center, there's fire communication centers, there's prevention bureaus, there's all kinds of other jobs within the fire service that are outstanding jobs that these folks are very qualified for.
And you guys are representing several fire departments in San Diego.
Yeah. It started in Oceanside, and we've expanded now, and I have all of the North County chiefs have agreed to help out by sending their personnel and apparatus to help us out, and tons of volunteers. Most of the firefighters on that day will be volunteering their own time to help us out. And I also had the luxury of having 40 Palomar firefighter recruits there at the academy that are anxious to help out as well.
Wow. I think I'm in East County, so some Heartland people, if you're listening to this, you may need another board member. That's a pebble. That was just thrown out there. May need some help. And do you do stuff with CAL FIRE as well?
We would love to take this program countywide. There's no doubt. I mean, it could survive in San Diego City at their training facility. You have Miramar down here. You have Heartland. Yeah, absolutely. We're up in the north, but this is a countywide event. Obviously, it's open to anybody within the county, and I'd love to take this thing nationwide. I think it's a great program, and I think it's needed.
And we do, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, donate time or funds, of course, but, you know, we're always looking for good people to help out. During the day of the event, we're, you know, checking folks in. We make sure that everybody's hydrated well during the entire event. We, you know, feed people during, you know, at lunchtime, so handing out meals and that sort of thing. You know, if you're interested in the sounds of like something that resonates with you, we'd love to have you, you know, give us a call.
And there's several ways to donate, and we've talked about the currencies that are available. So your time and certainly money is one of those currencies, but it sounds like networking is a huge, huge piece of what you do.
Yeah.
So if you know someone that's involved in the firefighting community or in the military and transition community that could be there as a resource and to walk alongside with several of the men and women that are transitioning out, it sounds like that's a big piece of what you guys are looking for too.
Yeah, optimal employment is really the game.
Yeah. So if you're a real estate agent or a commercial or if you're event planning or if you're a chief, everyone's needed, right? So again, really appreciate what you guys do. Let's hear some of the stories. Let's hear what some of these people have been able to do after going through this military transition firefighter for a day.
Well, I'll give you one. One small example. We 2 years ago, we had a gentleman come through, and this was in our infancy, and so they, you know, they just didn't know very much about the program. He showed up. He says, "I don't know how I got here, but I am so glad because I've always wanted to be a firefighter." And sure enough, 2 years later, we found him in our Palomar College annex on base at Camp Pendleton. He's gone through his first two EMT classes, and he'll be ready to, should he choose to stay in the area, sign up with Chief and at Palomar College in the future.
Wow.
Yeah, we've also had some other senior military folks come through our early program that it just, they didn't choose the fire service, but it was life-changing for them. They learned some things in the smoke-filled building about teamwork. They learned some things about their personal selves, about their families. It's kind of neat at the end, we do this thing where we sit around the lunch and we kind of break down the day and what the experience that they had. And it's just neat to hear the stories of of, you know, and sometimes it just reminds them of being in the military, or just reminds them, or just the fact that people care about them. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Us watching them and their response is that it's all about them for that day, and that's important for us.
And, you know, and that I would be remiss not to say, you know, it's about teamwork, right? I mean, anything in life that gives you joy is serving others and being part of a team, if you really think about it, right? So we have big teams of people that, you know, are on our group, or, you know, on our staff. And the thing that a lot of the cadets, or we call them kind of cadets or trainees for the day, say is, I can't believe that you guys care about us so much. You know, I feel frightened. I mean, we have people that are high-ranking officers that are choked up saying, I'm frightened. And, you know, and I said, oh, this is ironic. You know, you'll take a bullet, you'll take a missile, you'll fly an aircraft, but this right here is frightening. And they, you know, they say it's really welcoming to have, you know, people really care, want to help, and showing some direction.
Wow. Thank you guys so much for sharing your story. Thank you for not only being part of the community, but creating teams and creating synergies and thinking bigger than even ourselves. This is what it's all about. And if you miss, it's Military in Transition, Firefighter for a Day, how to transition from the military to being a firefighter. And there's lots of things that have to happen with that. Thank you for what you guys do. And as always, this is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. And I just encourage you, and I hope that you will rise up.